Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle, and you know us. We're that people dashboard for small and medium companies. We know you. You're those companies with those small, overworked, super busy, lean HR teams that barely have enough time for reporting. You're pulling spreadsheets from multiple systems, trying to make sense of all that data, and you're always wondering, there has to be a better way. Well, look no further, because here we are to save the day, Employee Cycle. Our people dashboard has pre-built integration connectors to the best-in-breed HR systems that you're using. Systems like Bamboo HR, Namely, Sapling, ADP, TriNet, Greenhouse, 15.5, OfficeVibe, Glassdoor, you name it. We can pull in all that data from all those different systems so that you can answer all your workforce questions in one place. Go to employeecycle.com today, either check out a free trial or across the demo. We'd love to talk with you. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have a very special guest. So please help me welcome Marley Sakari, HR Director at InFocus. And today we're going to discuss how to show your company's personality during remote work or during remote hiring. Marley, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
So, Marley, this is your very first podcast, and I'm just so happy and honored to be your first podcast host. I feel very humbled. And so, we're going to have a great time. But the way that we kick this off, actually, do you know the very first question we always ask?
How did you get into HR?
Look at that. You're already winning. You're already winning on your very first podcast. So yes, Marley, please tell us, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Yeah. So I was living in a small town called Telluride in Colorado. I had been living abroad for many years, and I kind of went home to look after my family. And I was working 5 different jobs. It was crazy. I was just kind of running from job to job to job. And a old friend of mine had a startup. And every time I saw him, I would be like, hey, you should hire me. You should hire me. You should hire me. And so finally, he did. And I initially started at his company kind of as like an agent. I moved from agent to product development. And from there, the more that I did in product development, it kind of slowly drifted into the hiring. And the more I started to focus on hiring, the more we decided that, you know, our company needed to build an HR department. And so in that, I was just kind of the natural person to step into that role, because it had been what I had been, you know, concerning most of my time with. So it was an interesting path, but I'm really excited to be in HR now.
Awesome. And could you give us a quick background summary of InFocus? Where is the company based? How many employees? And what does your company do?
Yeah, definitely. So InFocus is a software as a service company. It is currently headquartered in Telluride, Colorado, but we're expanding very, very quickly into Grand Junction and Mesa County, as well as Montrose and some of the other smaller, more rural counties. And we're able to do this because we are a remote team, which has been really great. And so what InFocus does is we are a dashboard of, you know, 5 different products that really help a business utilize and grow with their leads. We can help them track their sales. We kind of basically do everything that Employee Cycle is doing, but on the optimization and scalability on like the sales and customer service side. So we have some clients that are direct to consumer businesses that are selling like flashlights online that go direct to consumer. We have other contracts that are government contracts. So they're giving us their leads and we're helping them with customer service or helping them, you know, support with email support. So we're kind of doing a lot of different stuff, but all of it ties into helping businesses or other government entities really maximize and utilize the client base or the customer base that they're looking to connect with.
Awesome. And thanks for that background info. So today we're discussing how to show your company's personality during remote hiring. But before we talk about how to tell candidates what your personality is, how do you define a company's personality in the first place?
I think that's really difficult. And I think it's definitely in the startup world, it's something that we spend a ton of time talking about and trying to really define. You know, a lot of time is spent on the elevator pitch. You know, if somebody asks you what your company does, how do you explain that? But not as much headspace is given to, well, if somebody asks you what your company is like, what do you say? And so I think defining that, or just defining what you want it to be so you can get there, is really important. I think big companies may have that mapped out, but even if you went to like Microsoft and asked, what is the company culture like? It might take them a minute to really define that. You know, it's more always focused on like production and product and sales, and the people and how those people operate is, you know, can be left out. So I think to define the company culture, it just takes people sitting down and saying, how do, you know, we want our employees to talk about us to their friends and family? You know, do we want to say, oh, it's really focused on sales and returns and that's it, and then we leave? Or is it, you know, they really care about, you know, the fact that my kid was sick and they worked with me and I'm really happy that I'm there. So I think it's that tone for which employees talk is what we're kind of like focusing on.
Interesting. As I'm listening to you provide your answer, one of the questions that popped in my head was, do you want employees to have a canned answer to discuss your personality, or is it based off of their own experience?
I think it should be based off their own experience. I think that, you know, having like a tagline for your culture, like, you know, family oriented or results driven, something like that is important because it helps, you know, just your HR team formulate what they want to move forward with. But I think that employees should be really able to just speak to their own experiences. And if somebody's like, oh, I see they're applying or they're hiring, should I apply? Employees should be like, oh yeah, it's great because, you know, all they care about is how many sales you get and you can just get in and get out. Or it's great because they really work with you and they want to know how you're doing every day and they make, you know, work really fun. Or, you know, the other side would be, you know, I don't apply because it's no good.
Got it. That's interesting. And I'm assuming that the company culture or personality and just the vibe of the company would also be dictated based off of the employee's role and potentially department as well, correct?
Yeah, I think it would definitely tie in. But I think if the culture is permeating throughout when an employee discusses their personal experience, it should be very similar. Like this, you know, the director of sales and just a sales agent should have a similar feeling for how the company as a whole treats them.
Got it. So we're talking about showing and communicating the personality doing remote hiring. So as I'm thinking about this, let's paint a picture, the scenario of somebody hearing about InFocus, or maybe even hearing about your company after this podcast. And they say, you know what? This is awesome. Really love what Marley has to say. This sounds like a company I want to apply to. When we're talking about communicating the personality, when does that start? Does that start with the hiring page? Does that start when they get their first email saying, hey, we want to bring you in for an interview? Does it start when the first person is on that Zoom call with you, talking to you? When do you believe someone really starts interacting with the company's personality?
I think it starts, you know, as soon as somebody looks at the website, they're going to get a feeling for, okay, this is a tech website and they're really focused on, you know, optimization and utilization, or they're going to look at the website and be like, oh, this is, you know, a company that seems like they're always hiring. Are they growing, or are they, is there like a retention problem? So I think that, you know, it starts with just the website and the job posting, but it doesn't really become something that you are driving home until that first interview. And I think that that first interview or that first talk on the phone, even to confirm the interview, is really important and kind of sets the tone for the rest of the relationship.
To go back to the website, a lot of the times candidates, their first experience might not necessarily be the career page or LinkedIn or Indeed or any other site that's really promoting the career opportunity side of the company, but it might actually be the marketing site. It might be InFocus.com. How do you think the look, feel, and what your website is saying has to do with the candidate experience. Do you think there's some correlation between that where they might look at it and say, oh, this company works with data, so they might be super serious? And I'm just making that up. Do you think that those are some of the things that people might think about as they're looking at the marketing website as a company before they even get to the career page?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that I hear from people is that they say, oh, I looked at your website, I saw that you guys were doing SaaS or software as a service, and I think that's really cool. Or I looked at your website and I saw that you guys do, you know, it was so clean, your website looked so nice, it made me really interested. So I think that the website kind of puts a tone on how we do business. And if somebody's looking for work with us, they're going to be involved with that. So, you know, it's, you can't control it because it is a marketing website. You know, we're looking for people who are like, oh, I have all these data and I don't know what to do, and I'm toggling, like you've said, between five different websites and I need help. So, you know, if somebody looks at that and they go, oh, I could be helping businesses utilize their data, that's awesome. I want to be part of that. So I think it's just about how, like, the website presents itself. And if somebody's interested in that, they're going to pursue it, whether or not it's, you know, the careers page or just the marketing page.
Awesome. So let's go back to that scenario where somebody heard you speaking about how great your company is and that you're hiring, and this person applies. Once they hit the website, go to your career page, apply, one of your recruiters says that this person might be a great fit for whatever role it is, and then they're on that first remote interview. How are you helping your hiring managers communicate your personality and the personality of InFocus to these remote candidates, knowing that there's no office that they can see or even visit to know what it's really like to work with the rest of the team?
So that's something that we actually kind of stumbled on at first. It was really hard to convey that. And I think what we've done as a solution is we've extended our interviews. We've made them a bit longer. So at first we were only doing 15-minute interviews just for that initial touch base, but now we've extended it to a half an hour. And I think that by extending it, it allows the hiring manager to have more of a conversational interview than just a, like, do you check these boxes? And by doing that, it allows us to, you know, show some more of our culture, like, oh, what is, you know, your preferred schedule? Okay, we should be able to work within that. Or do you have to leave on certain days for childcare? Like, let us know now so that we can work on accommodating you if you do join our team. So I think by expanding our interview and including more personal data points, personal data questions, like, are you currently in school? You know, like I said, childcare, are these things something that we need to accommodate for? And just kind of putting forth that accommodating is something that we are looking for the right person, helps set the tone for the rest of their experience with us.
For anyone that's listening to this and would like to replicate that process, how did you start that initial process? And was there a laundry list of things that you wanted to include, like childcare and school, that you shortened so that the interview or this conversational interview wouldn't be 3 hours long? Or were you able to actually capture all the things that you believe should be communicated in this call?
You know, I would say it's still kind of a moving target for us. A lot of what we identify in people to hire is if somebody is able to kind of communicate well with us and have that conversation. So we do have like a laundry list, like you said, of questions that we ask. But what we hope is that within the first five questions, that it will spark kind of a organic conversation, and that person will be able to kind of go back and forth with us so we can just get a feel for how they communicate. When we have an interview where it's very much like, oh, are you currently in school? And the person is just yes, period. That kind of lets us know that maybe this person won't mesh very well within our culture, because we're looking for people who can say, oh, yes, I am in school. I'm taking some painting classes and they're very important to me. And oh, okay, that's great. And we can move on from there. So I don't like to constrain my hiring managers too much. There are certain data points we definitely collect and that we want to hit in each interview. But if somebody kind of starts talking about another point and they take the interview that direction, I think that's fine, because we're really looking for people who are going to come in that are going to be able to kind of self-start and really hit the ground running. And by having more of a fluid interview that's less rigid, it helps us see who would fit into that.
So I know you and your hiring managers have a list of questions and or comments that you provide to communicate and paint a picture around your personality. But on the flip side, have you seen a trend and a pattern of what employees are looking for as they're doing, going through this remote interviewing process, and especially as they're doing it through COVID? Are there specific questions or themes or categories of questions that they're asking about to really get to the heart of the personality and culture of your company?
The biggest question we always get is this continual appointment, continual employment. Like, is this something that I'm going to have if COVID ends? And so the biggest part there for us is really conveying that this is hiring, period. This isn't just hiring for COVID. And I think that that question does allow us to say, you know, bringing you on as an employee is very important to us. And by coming on, you're joining our team for the foreseeable future, for as long as, you know, you stay with us. It's not just something that's happening within the pandemic. I think a lot of people right now are looking for stability, and they're looking for a place that they know they can stay in, and it's not going to dry up. Like, with so much of the service industry drying up, it's been really scary. It's been really scary for a lot of people, especially here in Colorado, where we depend a lot on the service industry. You know, my mother was a waitress for like 35 years. And if she was still doing that, I don't know where we would be, you know, with COVID. So I think the biggest question we get is people who are nervous that this is going to end. And us, our job as hiring managers, or as a company, is to convey that this is an employment opportunity and it's for the long term. And so by joining us, you're really joining a team, and we're here to support you, even if things are kind of crazy right now.
Pre-COVID, there were always podcasts and articles and blog posts about how we're in this, I don't know if golden age is the right term, but we're in this space where people are working shorter and shorter lengths of time for jobs and bouncing around because the economy was so great, or younger generation is all about experiences. And I can't remember who said it. I think it might have been the founder of LinkedIn, where he says he looks at employees like being people in the military, where they're not to be there forever, but they are more about doing their tours at different companies. And so I'm curious, based off of employees prioritizing certainty during these COVID times, do you find that, or do you believe that people will probably end up staying at your company longer, and that that might shift the culture of your company?
I mean, I certainly hope they stay. Our company has kind of experienced an interesting thing. When COVID first started, we had about 35 employees, and we've grown, I think, 300%. So we've experienced just a massive growth during the pandemic, which has presented its own challenges in, like I said, you know, conveying our culture and really trying to convey that this is long-term employment and this is not just dependent on the pandemic. I hope that everything that we've done during the pandemic to work with our employees and to convey that we are here for the long term, that this is something that will grow and grow and grow, that they will stay. I also think InFocus is in an interesting space, is we're mostly in rural Colorado and rural communities, and we're providing work that can be done from home. So we're really starting to hit a niche of people who may have had to commute 2 or 3 hours a day to go to a job, and now they're able to stay home. So I hope that everything that we're doing is going to lead to long-term employees and long-term growth within the area. But you know, it's hard to say. You know, people do bounce around. I think we expect that in our hiring model, but we are seeing people staying longer. You know, you first see within the first, like, I would say 90 days is when you see people, either they're going to stay for a while or they're going to, you know, stay for 2 months, then leave. So I think we're seeing more and more people kind of stay for that 90 days. And that tells us that they're, you know, feeling pretty good, and they're feeling good about their path and possibly the ladder up, and that hopefully they stay for the long term.
And then the last question, I want to end this with onboarding. For anyone who is, again, listening to this and inspired to optimize their process of communicating and expressing their company's personality during this remote hiring period, what would you say to anyone who would ask, okay, I hear everything that you said about from sourcing and looking at the website and having that first interview, but how do I communicate our personality on day one to day 30, to day 60 or 90 or even the first year so that people really feel a part of this company versus just some person that was hired remotely and working on an island?
You know, I think that's really a moving target. The biggest thing is just communication and the ability for an employee to easily communicate with their manager, or even, you know, someone like me, like a director. You know, we utilize things like Slack for immediate conversation, and we're kind of always chatting on Slack. And some things that we have are just like water cooler channels for people to post a meme or something. So I think just ensuring that there are constant check-ins and that people are in constant communication will help with that. And then hopefully as things kind of start to loosen up, or maybe, you know, we figure out exactly how to wear masks and social distance properly, maybe we can have some in-person meetings to really drive that home. But I think the biggest thing is that somebody should know that if they do have something come up or they do feel overwhelmed, that they can immediately reach out to their manager for assistance, and they don't have to, you know, wait and feel awkward and then let the feelings build up and feel bad. They can just immediately say, hey, you know, to my manager or even to an HR manager, I'm not feeling great, or I feel overwhelmed, and we can get them immediate assistance because it's all virtual. We can say, oh, okay, great. You know, let's, you know, change your schedule a little bit, take a couple of days, or what is the problem? Is it this or this? Maybe we can rearrange this. So I think it's just the ability in a virtual space to kind of immediately change things. That's great. But also being in that virtual space where things can immediately change can be very hard for people. So just constant communication, constant contact, check-ins, surveys to see how they're doing, newsletters to let them know of any changes that are on the horizon, just being as transparent as possible and checking in.
Marley, thanks so much for dropping all these gems of wisdom on us and really inspiring us all to do a better job of showing our authentic culture and company's personality during remote hiring. So thank you so much. And you totally nailed your first podcast. So thank you, Marley.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. So where can people find you and InFocus online?
So they can go to www.infocu5.com, or they can find me on LinkedIn, Marley Sicari at LinkedIn, but go and check out the website. We've got some very exciting things going on.
Awesome. And we'll definitely include all that contact info in the show notes. So for everyone out there listening and enjoying this episode, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes to show that we did a good job and that you care about this content. Also, if this was the very first Employee Cycle Podcast interview you've ever listened to, and you came here because you're already a super fan of Marley and you wanted to hear what she had to say, or you found this topic to be interesting and so you wanted to check it out, but now you're hungry for more, well, please go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts and please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast. And last but not least, all of you HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.